Welcome to Sunday with the Skies. We are so glad you could join us today. And I pray that you can share in some of the joy and the blessing that we have in our worship times here, that somehow it will just kind of go into your room and into your heart, that you'd be lifted up today, even though you're not here physically, that you would be with us in the Spirit. And I just pray God's great blessing on you today. And we have joining us today our dear friends, the Lukens, and they're here with their three kids, which we are very grateful for. We're hoping that they may not be able to leave. There's a snowstorm coming, and we have joined those who are praying that they might get storm stay, but there's others that aren't praying that way. Anyway, we're glad for them to be here for whatever time they're here, and it's really a blessing to have them, and they're very like-minded, kindred spirits, so it's quite a joy to have them here. And it's quite a joy to have you here, too, because you are also like-minded and kindred spirits, even though we might not see you as often. But you are welcome to come and visit anytime, winter, spring, or summer. Please come when we're home. A lot of the best gatherings that we have occur when we're gone on tour. Friends getting together with friends at our house, which, of course, we don't mind, except we miss being with them. That is really true. Anyway, you're very welcome to come. Please even start making your summer plans now to come up and visit. If you can come for the Revival PEI meetings in the middle of the summer, that would be the best. If you can't get that particular time off, then come up anytime during the summer and spend a few days with us and fellowship with us, with morning devotions out on the porch and concerts in the evening. It's really just a very refreshing time in the Spirit. So please join us whenever you can. And any time during the year, as long as we're home, you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come and stay with us. We've got a guest room set aside. We've banned all the students from one room. So there is a room that is available for any parents visiting or anybody who is interested in joining the Bible Institute, wants to come up and spend a weekend or a few days with us. By all means, come up and visit us and spend some time with us. We'd love to have you here. And I pray that God will use it to refresh your spirit. We're going to turn over to Psalm 16 again today. I was going to switch tracks, but I just couldn't get off this psalm because it is so incredibly rich and it speaks to us so completely today. So let's pray and then we'll read Psalm 16 again. Lord God, you alone have the words of life. You alone have the words of life. And the words of men are useless, and they do nothing. But when you speak, Lord, our hearts are quickened, our spirits are awakened, we are encouraged, we are enlivened. And I pray, Lord God, for each person who is partaking of this time together, I pray that each one would sense a spirit of revival and an awakening in their spirit, a quickening and great joy. Lord, I pray particularly for our friends on the West Coast today, our dear and beloved friends and old friends that are there that are joining with us today on the extreme East Coast. I thank you that there's no distance, and I pray that you greatly bless them today. Please speak to us today through your word, and may our hearts rejoice greatly in you. Hallelujah. Psalm 16. I'm going to read it again, and then we'll just focus on a little bit different aspect of it today. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord, I have no good besides thee. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their libations of blood, nor take their names upon my lips. But the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And my flesh also will dwell securely. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. We talked briefly this week up here among our students in our morning devotions about how important it is for us to attain to innocence and to pursue innocence. because the Lord has said that unless you become like little children, you will not even be able to see the kingdom of God. And that is actually true. It's actually true. We can only begin to see the beauty of God when we begin to start becoming innocent like children again. And that's why we emphasize so strongly here at the Fellowship of the Unashamed that we should pursue willful innocence, which means we've all been polluted and corrupted abominably. There's none of us who are innocent anymore in our society. But the Holy Spirit has made a way for us to come back to and regain, or in some places, create from nothing, the innocence without which we can't see God or the kingdom. And when it says here in the last verse, in his right hand there are pleasures forever. Well, those pleasures are the wonderful delights of heaven, which can only be enjoyed in innocence. So if we want to enjoy all the goodness of God, it is found by going through the path of obedience, which leads to innocence. So there's a great reward for following after him and for obeying. There's a great reward. That is, we will be able to see God and we'll be able to enjoy the pleasures of heaven. So that's extra. There's no charge for that. That wasn't part of today's message. Okay, what is about today's message is, again, what we've spoken about the last 2 weeks. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord, I have no good besides thee. Okay, so all of the work of God is to make it to where God becomes our only good. Where God becomes our good. And all the other good that we seek, all the good that is in the world, is subjected to God so that he becomes our only good. And so, that we might be able to say with David that the lions have fallen to us in pleasant places. Our heritage is beautiful to us. That God might become our good. And the thing that we desire more than anything else in the world. Now, entering into a relationship like that with God requires that we become otherworldly. Okay? Otherworldly. All the world, every man in the world seeks to have comfort and security, pleasure and fulfillment as part of this earth. Their life right now in the present world, that is where all the energy of every man and every woman is directed toward trying to make their environment to be as comfortable, as secure, as peaceful, and as fulfilling as possible. That's where we spend all of our time. It is, as it were, perhaps even trying to have our best life now, even, if I may be so bold. Because all of our pursuits are to this end, which has this one difficulty connected with it, And that is that the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is completely contrary to that. God's work in your life is the opposite of the natural course of all the things that we're pursuing in this entire world. God's way is completely contrary to it. God says, and God teaches us, don't have any concern for this present world. Don't even look at it. Don't even think about it. Don't even worry about comfort, safety, and security in this world. It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. So you can see that these two worldviews are very much opposed. And for us to accept and to receive God's viewpoint, which is, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. God will take care of you tomorrow. He'll take care of you today. He'll take care of you every single day. God will take care of you every single day. Do not worry about what you shall eat, drink, or wear, for all these things the world eagerly seeks after. But the Father knows you need these things and will gladly give them to you. And so, we have two diametrically opposed worldviews. And for us to enter into God's worldview requires an immense struggle, even a life struggle, lifetime struggle, where we have to let go of such things as our pressing urgency to do all things sensibly and practically and responsibly. We must be responsible. We have to do the things according to all the wisdom of all the people around us. If we're not following the wisdom of Business Week magazine, then somehow we're falling short as Christians. As Christians, this immense pressure to follow after all the worldly standards for success. This is an immense pressure in America, is to live up to the standards of worldly success. Unfortunately, as we mentioned last week, the sorrows of those who barter the living God and exchange Him for the gods of this world, their sorrows will be multiplied. And so the sorrows of the world beset and come upon those who look to the things of this world for their good and security. Their sorrows are multiplied. They can never be attained except by those who are perishing. If you love God, if you love God, if you're called by Him, and if you are chosen, God will not allow you to be safe, secure, or content in this world. And that's where things get really difficult, because it's His love that's preventing us from getting secure in this world. And if you see other Christians that are just going along and they're doing so well materially in every way, they're doing so well, do not even think about it. If they truly love God, God is going to bring them to the same place that He's brought you. He will. He must. He has to, because He will not have other gods before Him. And so we can love God or we can love the world, but we can't love the world and love God. They're mutually exclusive. You can't have the world, the love of the world, and the love of the Father. And any teaching that is contrary to that is not from the Holy Spirit. And if you disagree, just turn to the Gospel of Matthew and read it at night before you go to bed, and then call me after you finish reading it, okay? Because I'm not making this up. This is not my teaching. I'm just merely stating what the Lord has so clearly laid before us in the Gospels. It's just that the Gospels are so foreign today. They're never read. They're the forgotten books of the Bible or the Gospels. So when we bring them out, it's just amazing what the Lord has said. It's just shocking because he's so radical. He's so different from the world. And so we have to have the mindset that this present world is passing away. Okay, that's when I say we need to become otherworldly. We have to have this understanding that this present particular world now that we're living in will pass away. And so we have to act accordingly. Let's say we had a desire to have a great, just a great house, you know, and the fulfillment of all our dreams. And so we found an abandoned World War II aircraft carrier and decided that, wow, ocean view, beautiful flat lot, easy to build. And so you decide to build your dream house and your mansion on the deck of an aircraft carrier that's been abandoned. And you can expend great amounts of money and great amounts of work. And you can have something that looks beautiful. But, of course, it's built on something, on a hull that's rotting, and it's going to sink eventually. It will sink. Same with the world. The world is going to sink. Everything that we build on this world is going to sink with it. And so we have to have a worldview that incorporates that. We have to have a worldview that remembers that. And so our actions are based on the fact that, wait, this world is passing away. Now that's going to make you look odd. It's going to make you look really strange because everybody is really concerned about this present world, especially and including all the Christians are very concerned about this present world. But those who are following after Jesus and his word are like, no, this world doesn't matter. This world is nothing. It doesn't mean a thing. Our sights are focused on other things, eternal things. And so now take this for a good lesson. If there's anyone here who can learn from someone else's mistake, I'm going to give you a great object lesson. About 10 years ago, my family and I invested a lot of money and all of our time and our effort and our work, and everybody in our family works hard, and we work, you know, very, very, very long days for years and years and years building up a place in Massachusetts. And we succeeded in our goal. That is, that we were able to build a place that was very appealing, one of the nicer properties in all of Massachusetts. It's still there, thankfully. You can see it if you want to. It's in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. So we succeeded in that. We poured all of our energy, all of our thought, all of our work, and our prayer was devoted to this project to make a beautiful inn, to make a nice whatever. It was a complex. Very nice, and we succeeded. And then after 10 years, the Lord took it from us in order to restore our perspective. He took it away, and it's like, whoa. Oh, yeah. The things of God, that's the only thing that's important. Okay, now, think about this. If we had known 10 years earlier that God was going to take it away in 10 years, how would that have affected our behavior? What would that have, how would we have changed what we did during that 10 years that we labored on the Hearthstone Inn? What would we have done differently? Well, A, we wouldn't have put a single dollar into it, and we wouldn't have wasted 5 minutes building it. We wouldn't have done nothing, nothing whatsoever. If we knew that the Lord was going to take it away in 10 years, we would have done nothing. And then we would have said, whoa, let us have undivided focus on the gospel. Let us proclaim the gospel with no divided thoughts whatsoever. Let us just seek the Lord with all our hearts. That's what would have happened if God had told us 10 years before what was going to happen. Now here is the sting. God has already told each one of us and each person here, he's told you, and he's told me, that the world is passing away and the lust thereof. He's already told us that everything of the earth will be burned up. So how should that alter our behavior? How then should we live knowing that every single thing around us will actually be burned up? Well, it should give us a different world. We should be in another world. We should be thinking of things a lot differently, no matter what the world at large is doing, no matter what the Christian church is running after, no matter what our friends are running after. We should have a view that says this world is going to perish. We need to be focusing on the things that are eternal. So this should do two things. It should make us, first, content. It should make us content that our present condition is irrelevant, that it doesn't mean anything. Where we're living, what we're doing, what the condition of our home is, if, like in our house, everything is leaking and the ceilings are falling down, it's like, it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter, because these things are going to be burned up. So the first thing it should do is make us content that our condition in this present world is not an issue. It's not an issue. The second thing is, it should cause us to be very focused on the things of God. Because though all that we see will be burned up, there's something that will survive the great burning of His coming. And that is the eternal souls of every person that we see. The eternal soul of every person that we see will go through the fire. So anything that we build on their souls will last. Anything we can do to encourage someone, to strengthen them, to cause them to think about God, to seek the Lord, anything that we do for them will actually survive and will be eternal fruit. So, we should be otherworldly in these two things. We don't care what our earthly circumstances are. That'll make you odd. That'll make you very strange. Second, our focus should be, what can we do today? What can we do right now to encourage someone, to help someone, to strengthen someone? What can we do to build up the kingdom of God? Now, here's the secret. You think, this is very good in theory, but after it goes on for a period of years or decades of living in maybe very, very difficult circumstances or very trying circumstances, and after a while you can think, wow, this is hard. Here's the secret. The secret is to remember and to understand that our heritage is beautiful to us, that God has made and ordained that each one of us who have been redeemed, each one who has come to Him in repentance and received Him, He has caused us to become wealthy beyond the imagination. So that each child of God, He has prepared an immense blessing, real blessing, not just a spiritual blessing, real physical blessing, of riches, of honor, of estates, of gardens, of all things beautiful. Remember, the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. He has prepared a place for you. And He has given you untold blessing and riches. But He has made it as an inheritance. And that's the thing to keep in mind. And that's the secret. One of the secrets of a victorious Christian life is to understand that God's blessing to us is in the form of an inheritance. That means that it has been written out. Your name has been signed on the line as the beneficiary of this immense inheritance. Your name is on it. It's been signed. It's been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and it will come to pass. But it hasn't come to pass yet. It's something that will come to pass in the days ahead. But that those riches are still yours. It's still in your name. You are still the beneficiary of this amazing inheritance. And so ours is to be patient and to just say, wow, man, I can endure a few years of this because look at what God has prepared for me. And so many of the missionaries, they really had a clear grasp of this. And so they could endure all type of hardship. They could embrace the cross in ways we can't even think of because they had this a true confidence that what God had promised, he was also able to bring to pass. And they knew that they were rich in Christ. So be encouraged in that though in being otherworldly and being mindful of the things ahead, it will make us deprived in the world's eyes, and the devil uses that to hammer us and to try to make us feel bad. But the fact is, he's making us feel bad. But the truth is that we are richer than anybody that we see. We're richer than anyone we see. We have an inheritance that is richer than anyone, and it will come to pass. So persevere, press on. Don't cave in. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the world's standards. Don't think like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, or talk like the world. We are to be otherworldly, thinking about our eternal inheritance. So please be encouraged in this and be strengthened in your walk, not to be concerned about your circumstances, but to just devote your heart, your thought, your prayers to the good of other people. In that, we will find ourselves greatly blessed with the joy of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that all these things are true. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are able to accomplish in us these good things that we desire. Please make us dead to the world and alive to you. Please help us let go of worldly security and embrace you as our only good. Please bless each one who is tuned in and let their lives become a fountain of blessing for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us this week, and please email us or write to us or call us. Let us know how you're doing, okay?